To our visitors, we have been in a study in the book of Revelation for most of this year. Been going verse by verse through the book of Revelation. And I know many of you are just coming in. We're in chapter 18, so we're kind of getting to the end of it. And just kind of catch you up to speed. When the judgment started coming upon this earth, there were the seven seal judgments. Then there were the seven trumpet judgments, and then there were seven vial judgments. And all these came upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, I am pre-trib in my belief about the rapture. I believe we're going to be gone. I don't think the Lord's going to beat up his bride before he has his wedding. So I think we're going to be gone. We're not going to be here during this great tribulation period, but many people will be saved. As we studied this, there's 144,000 sealed by God from the 12 tribes of Israel. There are the two witnesses. Then there's the proclaiming angel. And as a result of all this, I believe a great multitude of people are saved during the tribulation period. And most of them are martyred. They will be martyred by the Antichrist. So chapter 18, I kind of gave an introduction to it last Sunday night. But I want to cover the entire chapter. It won't take long. Don't get in too big a panic. We'll get to these kids here pretty quick. But I want us to look at the fall of Babylon. We're at the end of the tribulation period. We get in chapter 19 next Sunday. And that's the coming of Christ in glory. And there's the marriage feast. All that's going to be brought out. And the battle of Armageddon. So all this is coming up in chapter 19. But in chapter 18, we talk about the fall of Babylon. And we said Babylon represents a world system that the Antichrist is going to use. Seems to involve a lot of things. There's a religious aspect to it. There's a political aspect to it. But all this is going to come under the reign of the Antichrist who is going to come. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he had 3.5 years of ministry upon the earth, and he was rejected and crucified. The Antichrist will come. He's going to have 3.5 years, the second half of the tribulation period, and he's going to be embraced by this world. They're going to bow down and worship his image. And he's going to build a great world empire during this time. Now, when you think about Babylon, there's a lot of difference of opinion about what this is referring to. There is a Babylonish system that will be under the Antichrist, but there's also a city that is involved here. And as I brought out last Sunday, the ancient city of Babylon was destroyed and has been in ruins ever since. We looked at Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 51, I'm not going to read that again. You might make a note of that and read that on your own. But in Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 51, these prophets prophesied the destruction of Babylon. And they said it will never be rebuilt nor ever inhabited again. Now somebody pointed out there is a Babylon, what they call New Babylon. Old Babylon's in ruins. But there is a small city that's been built beside it, but it's not a great commercial center. It's nothing like what's being described here that is going to be destroyed by the judgment of God, whereby the world's going to lament the destruction of this great city. It seems that Babylon here is a code word for another city. Many think it's a reference to Rome, that Rome is the city in view here. I pointed out at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, where Peter says the church that is at Babylon salutes you. Well, there was no church at Babylon. Peter was in Rome. And it seemed like he was using that as a code word, and his readers would know what he was referring to. Daniel talks about a revived Roman Empire that the Antichrist will get control of. So it seems like the revived Roman Empire, the significance of the Roman church, all this seems to be what we're seeing here, the city that's going to be destroyed in the coming of God in judgment. So let's quickly note this. In chapter 18, I covered the first 10 verses last Sunday, but let me just review them quickly for those of you that are kind of coming in at this point. In the first 8 verses, you see the depravity of that city. You see the godlessness of her sin. It says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So you note the godlessness of this city. Now, as we said, going back all the way to Nimrod is when Babylon was started, and it was an idolatrous system. In the time of Daniel, he was a captive in Babylon. And in that time, it was a great pagan city, known for its magicians and soothsayers and astrologers. And all that is seen in this system that the Antichrist is going to get charge of. You see the grossness of her sin in verses 3 and 4. For all nations have drunk of the wine of thy wrath, of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues, these judgments that God is going to send upon them. So it speaks of her spiritual immorality. And we're seeing more and more of that today, aren't we? We're living in a very immoral society. Just about anything goes in our day and time. Then it talks about the greatness of her sin, verses 5 and 6. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Her cup of sin has been filled to the brim. Now going back to Genesis, there was the Tower of Babel that they were going to build that would reach into heaven. Really, it was a purpose for worshiping the stars and the zodiac, involved with astrology. God allows their sin to ripen before he brings judgment upon them. That phrase, is fallen, kind of adds to the dramatic effect of this dual judgment that is coming upon this place called Babylon. You note the gleefulness of her sin, verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. She's sitting high and pretty before judgment comes. She's kind of like the rich fool, the parable. She says, I have much goods laid up for many years. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. Now, folks, let me again remind you, do not envy the ungodly. Don't envy those who live a life of sin, thinking that they're having a great time because they're going to reap what they sow. Judgment is coming upon those who have denied God and rejected his son. And you might add the guiltiness of her sin in verse 8. It said, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. She hath glorified herself. She has lived deliciously. Can't you see the United States of America in some of this? Are we not as guilty in our day and time of the sins that we read about that God is going to judge? Folks, if there's ever been a time when America needs to repent and have revival, it's today. And God's people need to be deep in prayer for revival for this nation before it's too late. The second thing I want you to see is the disappointment about that city. Verses 9 through 19, It speaks of three different classes of people that will lament the destruction of Babylon. The monarchs will lament her destruction. They've been dependent upon her for their power and their riches. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, her being Babylon, shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. 1 hour. Now, last week I mentioned that this sounds to me, looks to me like a nuclear blast is going to destroy this city. From afar off, they see the concentric circles of a mushroom cloud ascending above this city. Now, I don't know if that's for sure or not, but it does seem to speak of that. They see, they stand afar off to watch her destruction. Then it goes, the merchants will weep for her, verses 11 through 17. They shall weep and mourn over her. No man buyeth merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet. All the thin wood, all manner of vessels of ivory. It just goes on to list all these things that they had received through Babylon. Now all this stuff has been destroyed and is gone. They watch in horror as all their inventories go up in smoke. And the mariners will weep for her. Drop down to verse 17. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. What could happen in 1 hour that would destroy a great city? Nuclear holocaust would. Folks, this is not talking about regular war. Regular warfare doesn't destroy a city in 1 hour. A nuclear blast will. So God may allow that to happen in his judgment upon this great city of Babylon, that is the capital city of the Antichrist during his reign. Then the rest of this, you see the destruction of that city. Verses 20 through 24. It says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Completely demolished. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. We might could sing, Babylon is falling down, falling down, falling down. Is that in your repertoire? You might want to add that. That's what's going to happen. And God is going, you see the violence of her fall here. And God is vindicating his servants, the martyrs. He's vindicating his holy name that's been blasphemed and slandered by those who have rejected him. Now he says in Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Sudden violence, complete destruction come upon the great city of Babylon. Note the vastness of her fall. Look at verse 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman, whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. The sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Note the vastness of her fall. No more. Three no mores there. No more music. No more music. That's talking about the kind of music they liked. Babylonian style. There's two kinds of musics in the world. There's the devil's music. You know, the devil's got music. It glorifies rebellion. It glorifies adultery. You've heard of them cheating songs? Glorifies drugs and alcohol. They got their drinking songs. It glorifies murder. It glorifies violence and hate and revenge. That's what the world, that's their kind of music. I can't understand anybody who professes to be a Christian who prefers the music of Babylon over the music, the songs of Zion. I understand that. But many profess to be Christians are quick to buy their music and attend their concerts. Well, enjoy the show now because one day it's going to be gone. Not going to be able to listen to that during the millennial kingdom. Amen. That's gone. I believe the kind of music you like reveals the kind of heart you have, really. Amen. Worldly church members like worldly music. No more music of that kind. No more manufacturing. No craftsman, no sound of the millstone. You know, by the way, a lot of the businesses are going to go out of business when Christ sets up his righteous kingdom. Do you know that? Those who manufacture weapons, instruments of war, they're going to go out of business. Because the millennial kingdom, there's not going to be any war. Right? The liquor stores, the bars are going to have to go out of business. The tobacco companies, the pornographers, there could be any of that during the millennial kingdom. Now you might think, what kind of business you're involved in, will that business be in operation during the righteous kingdom of Jesus Christ? Some are going to start looking for new work, aren't they? And no more merriment. The entertainment business is going to undergo a great change when Christ establishes his kingdom. No more R-rated movies. Amen. You don't watch R-rated movies, do you? So, well, preacher, we put the kids to bed. Tell you what, if it's not fit for kids to watch, it's not fit for you to watch. If Christians will quit listening to that stuff, they'd have to quit making them. No more of these profane singers. No more of these profane comedians with their filthy mouth. All that's going to be gone during the kingdom of Christ. I think one of the signs of the last days is this world is not looking for Christ to return. They're eating, they're drinking, they're buying, they're selling, they're marrying, giving in marriage, having a high old time, not expecting the coming of the Lord. But he's coming. He's coming whether you're ready or not. He's coming whether you like it or not. Amen. You see, finally, the validity of her fall. The language used there in verses 23 and 24, kind of similar to a legal document. As God is speaking of a pronouncement that will leave no loophole. Babylon will be destroyed, never to rise again. And folks, her downfall is right and it is just. God is going to deal with sin. God's going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with our sin. Judgment must begin in the house of God, the Bible says. Would the fall of America's economy devastate you? Is your wealth and happiness, is it centered in material things? Do you know what real riches constitute? Here it is. Add up everything you own that money can't buy, and death cannot take away, nor disaster. What's left is what is truly wealth. That's your true riches. Folks, worldly riches and worldly fame are temporary. And one day, it's all going to burn up. Don't be like Lot, who saw everything he lived for burn up in the destruction of Sodom. He might have said the same thing. Alas, alas, that great city is gone. In 1 hour, thy judgment is come, and she is made desolate. Don't be like Lot. Rather be like Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Is that what you're looking for? Brother Sam, we're going to have a hymn of invitation before we let these kids sing. We're one of those old-fashioned churches. We still give invitations. Because we want you to be able to respond to the message of God's word. And a crowd this size, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we don't have some here that have yet to give their life to Jesus Christ as Savior. We'd like to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. If you need to be saved, we'd like to invite you to accept Christ as your Savior and repentance of your sins.